Our final message on stewardship, Luke chapter 10, will be our text today. Luke chapter 10, we'll begin reading in verse 1. Chapter 10, verse 1. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also, and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. Then he said to them, "The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among the wolves. Carry neither money bag, knapsack, nor sandals. Greet no one along the road, but whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this house.' And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whatever city you enter, and they receive you, eat such things as they set before you, and heal the sick, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near you.' But whatever city you enter, and they do not receive you, go out into its streets and say, 'The very dust of your city, which clings to us, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near you. But I say to you that it will be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city.'" Then verse 17. "Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, 'Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name.' And he said to them, 'I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you authority to trample over the serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we bow before you today in need of your grace. Praying, Lord, for your guidance throughout your word. Teach us, Lord, your ways. Change us from inside out. I pray, Lord, that you will give us insight and understanding as we explore your word today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. We begin with the statement, "The harvest is great." Now, you've heard this all your life, even to the point that it becomes just repetitive and you don't stop and think. But I want you to stop and think for just a moment. I want you to have an eye and see the harvest. Jesus has appointed 70 people to go out into the cities before him, before Jesus gets to those cities, and prepare those people to receive Jesus when he comes. And Jesus tells them in verse 2, here's what you need to know. You need to know that the harvest is great. Statement of fact. Look all around you. You're going to go out and you should be able to see the need. We've been doing stewardship now for 6 weeks. And I've received a lot of emails about things that people have done, and I ask for it. I appreciate your willingness and your desire to put into practice the things that we study. But I want you to understand the why part of stewardship. You know? Why do we do these things? Why do we use the gift that God has given us, the abilities that God has given us? It's not just because it's the right thing to do. It's not just because you can help your fellow man. It's to bring people around us into a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Okay? That has to be the point of everything we as a church do. The idea of a harvest, it being great, you know, the idea of harvest is gathering. We are in the gathering business. And we do that by ministering to people. But you see, here's the problem in today's world. Churches seem to be in the good deeds mode, yet never mention Jesus and who Jesus is. Don't you stop and think about that. I've seen it time and time. Churches go out to show the love of Jesus. You're not going to show the love of Jesus if you never mention the name of Jesus. Okay? You can do all you want to do. You can give food to the hungry. You can give money to the poor. But if you never mention the name of Jesus, you have not done those people you're ministering to justice. Because the harvest is truly great. And the reality is, we will not stamp out hunger. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying we shouldn't feed the hungry. But we're not going to stamp out hunger. We're not going to stamp out poverty. But I want to tell you, you can make people rich. You can feed the soul of people by introducing them to the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, who is, of course, Jesus Christ. That's why in Luke chapter 10, verse 9 that we read, it said, "Tell them the kingdom of God has come near you." Absolutely. I want to challenge you. I want to encourage you. Keep doing those good deeds, but make sure you introduce to the people you are ministering to why you're doing those good deeds, which is Jesus Christ. I don't think he's on our lips nearly enough anymore. The world needs to know who Jesus is. That's our goal as stewards of Jesus Christ. And as we look around and as we minister and as we introduce people to Jesus Christ, you know what we're going to do? We're going to realize there's not enough people to do the job. That's why He said in verse 2, "Pray the Lord of the harvest, send out laborers into His harvest." Pray that God will send help. You know what? I have discovered everybody in a church position, whether it's pastors, whether it's associate pastors, whether it's teachers, everybody thinks they need help. And do you know why? Because they do. Because when you get the vision of the fields being widened to harvest and people needing Jesus Christ, you realize, hey, I can't do this alone. I love the construction. Verse 1, he said, he sent them out two by two. That word sent in the Greek is apostolo or apostello, where we get apostle from. Do you know apostle could be a noun or a verb? In the Greek, it can. And it means to send. So in verse 1, he sends them out. Look, here's the job. The fields are white. You guys go get with it. But in verse 2, he says it differently. The harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers. That word send is not apostolo. That word send is the word ekbalo in the Greek. That word literally means to force to leave. To drive out, to make them go. In our language, Jesus is saying, pray that God will get on people and send them out. Make them go out. Make them do something. Yeah? It's been the same problem for ages. We've always needed more people. And today we're living in a society that is a serve me society. Yeah? We go to church, I'm supposed to be served. We go out to eat, I'm supposed to be served. We live from day to day, we're supposed to be served. But I want you to understand, in the kingdom of God, it's not about you being served. It's about God's people using their abilities to serve God Himself. We think, let's be real. We really think everybody else is supposed to answer God's call, don't we? I mean, really, don't we? Aren't others supposed to preach? Well, I'm not a preacher, Brother Doug. I says, aren't others supposed to do that? No. Aren't others supposed to teach? I've heard people make the comments, you know, about teachers from time to time when we look for teachers and they say, "Boy, I paid my dues. I did that years ago. I don't do that anymore. Why don't you do that anymore? Did you resign on God?" Better be careful if you did. You know, we have this mentality. It's everybody else's job. Others' job to preach. Other jobs to teach. Others' job to witness. Others to sing in the choir. Others to serve. No. No. What about, are you ready for this statement? Everybody's attention. What about you? What has God called you to be and to do? And if you are not serving, my friend, you are sinning. Okay? He that knows to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Right? Don't wait on everybody else to get on board and to act and to minister. No, God's put you here for a reason. All right? And serving is a joy, but I also want you to know there are hazards in serving. The hazards of being a steward and a servant, there are many. And one of those hazards is abuse is a sure thing. Heads up. The more you do, the more you'll be abused. Do you know that? Can you say amen to that? Amen. The busier you are for God, the madder Satan's going to get, and the more he's going to get on you. All right? Just get ready for it. But Jesus said in John 15:20, a servant is not greater than his master. They persecuted me, they will also persecute you. So if you're going through a hassle because you're serving, cheer up. You're in good company. Jesus was persecuted. I've never had anybody come to me and say, Brother Doug, I'm so excited. Man, I'm just going through hell on earth. But that puts me in company with Jesus. Never had it. I've had them say, Brother Doug, I quit. I'm not taking this anymore. Listen, I want you to understand that I understand being a servant and a steward is tough. It's hard. Okay? It was hard for the Apostle Paul. I love how he mentioned in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24. He's talking about his ministry. He said, from the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 5 times he was whipped with 39 stripes. I've never been whipped. Praise God. He said, 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I've been in the deep, or he was lost at sea. In journeys, often in peril of waters, in peril of robbers, in peril of my own countrymen, in perils of Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Paul said, look, you can't tell me you're going through something that I hadn't already been through. Oh, but Paul's attitude, it was worth it. I want you to understand, because there are times as stewards and servants, we get so discouraged. Can I be honest with you? I'm going to be honest with you, okay? 25 years of ministry. I've seen a lot come and go. Right? I've been threatened to be literally beat up on a mission trip. Navajo reservation one day. And this Indian guy, I don't know what he was high on, but he was high on something. And I happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. And he just wanted to whip me because I was there. By the grace of God, I didn't get beat up that day because he could have taken me really easy, you know. Thought did cross my mind, what am I doing here? As a pastor, I've had doors slammed in my face. I've been criticized for not visiting enough, visiting too much. I've been told I don't like you. I've had members say, you're only in it for the money. Yeah, right. I've been told I pay your salary. I've been told I'm going to beat you up. I said that a while ago. My children have been ridiculed. My wife's been criticized. I've been told my preaching's too loud. I've been told my preaching's too mild. I went to sleep crying and woke up trembling. I've sat up all night with the sick. I've done marriage counseling at 3 a.m. I've counseled with drunks at all hours of the night. I've been tired. I've been lonely. I've done funerals. I've done countless weddings that Bridezilla was there. I've been discouraged, dismayed, and disillusioned. But glory to God, I'm still a minister of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And I don't tell you that so that you'll look at me and say, oh, that poor preacher. I'm good. Okay? I'm good. I wouldn't be anything else and I wouldn't be anywhere else. Right? And I'll give you some insight. Those things that I just shared with you did not happen to me at Victory. Glory to God. Right? Okay? But I want you to understand, if you're serving, some point along the way, it's going to get rough. Okay? You're going to be discouraged. It's going to be hard. That's why you've got to have faith. Faith that God's got it. Okay? God has it. Things aren't falling apart. God's in control. I love how he told him here. He said, carry neither money bag, knapsack, sandals. Greet no one along the way. Whatever house you enter in, you know, you stay there. He's saying, trust me, I got you. Trust me. I've got you. And see, that's the key to servanthood and stewardship. You've got to know that God's got you. Because sometimes you don't know how the bills are going to be paid. You don't know how things are going to work out. You don't know. All you know is right where you are at this time, it looks bad. But I want to tell you something. You can count on God. All right? There's some other way you can count on God. Okay? God, if you're ministering, God is working. Okay? The reason I say that is often we get to thinking, I'm doing absolutely no good. Oh, yes you are. You keep serving. You keep being faithful. You don't have the big picture. You do not know the long-term effect of your ministry. You keep on keeping on. Because I want to tell you what happened. And I went down that list a while ago of I've been this and I've been that. But I want to tell you, okay? It makes it all worthwhile when that child comes to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Amen. Walks down this aisle and says, I want to be baptized. That's good stuff. Okay? When that adult that has fallen by the wayside and fallen out of church and you know, is just no longer serving the Lord, they come and God moves in their heart and they say, I don't have to live this way anymore. I'm coming back to Jesus. It's going to be worth it all. It's worth it. When someone comes out after preaching, shakes my hand, says, Brother Doug, I learned something today. It's worth it when somebody comes out after preaching and says, Brother Doug, I needed that. It's worth it. When you realize that, yeah, God is still working. That's when you just smile and say, glory to God. I thank God He's given me the privilege of being in the ministry. And I'm not just talking about being a preacher. I'm talking about serving wherever you are. You see, if we're not real careful, we'll spend all our time focusing on the negatives. Because I will tell you, somebody's going to say something. Somebody's going to do something to make you angry. And listen, you've got nothing on the Apostle Paul. You've probably got nothing on most preachers, to be quite frank with you, okay? It's not nearly as bad as you think it is. And if you back up and say, I'm never going to do this again, don't be a big baby. Put on your big boy britches. Amen, as Beth says, suck it up, buttercup. Yeah. Come on, somebody's going to say something to you. It's all right. You're a steward of the living God. You're not serving them anyway. You're serving Jesus Christ. Now, stay with it. Don't fold under pressure. God's got it. Trust Him. But you will be rejected. All right? There will be times when you will just be turned, said, I don't want to hear what you've got to have. Has anybody ever looked at you and said, I don't want to hear it? I don't care what you have to say. I don't want to hear it. If they haven't, you've never lived. Don't be surprised when you come to a point in your ministry where you got to shake the dust off your feet. Okay? Rejection is certain. And verse 10, 11, he said, whatsoever city you enter, they do not receive you. Go out into the streets and say, the very dust of your city which clings to us, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know that the kingdom of God has come near you. Do you know there are times that you need to back up and say, okay, I've got to get a new direction. You ever been there? There are times that you just know this is not working. God's not in this. And it's not working. You've got to go a new direction. That's the hard part, I'll tell you. It's the hard part when you put your effort and your all into a ministry and you realize, mm-mm. I know people today who are hanging on to churches. The churches are dying and people are still hanging on in their membership and they won't go do something else just simply because they've been there for 20 years. Let me tell you something. If you're in a dead church, you too will die before long. Okay? Every once in a while, you got to shake the dust off your clothes, the dirt off your shoes. You've got to go in a new direction. It's tough as a steward, but you've got to be willing to do that. Moving on. Listen, we've gone down the list, and you may say, "Boy, this stewardship, it's not real good." Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Because the rewards are heavenly. See, we've got to remember. If you'll notice in verse 17, the 70 returned with joy saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. There's a great insight here. It's not about us. It's about Jesus. We go in the name of Jesus. You know what I've discovered? You know when I become the most discouraged and downhearted and disillusioned are the times I get to thinking too much about me. It's not about me, you know. And I've gone through those points in ministry thinking, well, I don't like this and I'm not going to put up with this and they can't treat me this way. And, you know, it's not about me. It's about Jesus. And I have discovered when I go to hospitals, I go in the name of Jesus. And I do very often, if not all times on the way to the hospital, I go and I say, Jesus, in prayer, I say, Jesus, I'm going in your name. I'm going for you, for your honor, for your glory. I'm not going to impress people because the preachers, I'm going for you. Boy, it would amaze you at how much better that hospital visit goes. You know? When I go on a visitation to somebody's home, Lord, I'm not going to impress them. It's not about me. It's about you. Put the words in my mouth. Help us to have a good visit together. But most of all, let you be glorified. And guess what? 9 times out of 10, it's a good visit. What I want you to grasp. Grasp a hold of the fact. If you're teaching a class, if you're serving on a committee, if you're ushering, you know, taking up the offering, you're not doing it to put on a church facade. You do it in the name of Jesus for His honor, for His glory. And you'll be surprised how much better it goes. As a matter of fact, I think it's the recipe for success for the child of God. But if you get to looking at yourself, oh, you'll get discouraged and keep going lower and lower and lower and lower. And Satan will beat you down farther and farther and farther and farther. It's about Jesus. And if they reject you, guess what? They're not rejecting you. They're rejecting your Savior. The one you're going in the name of. Let's go ahead and finish out. Here's the really good part. You've got to be a little bit farsighted. You've got to be able to look ahead to the future. You know, today, the big thing is looking ahead, being able to see what lies ahead. Being able to see retirement, what you want for retirement, and save your money and make good investments so that when you get to retirement, you can live. And you know, and that's a good thing. That's a good thing. But you know, more of us have an eye for our earthly retirement than we do for our heavenly retirement. All right? You see, we've got to be able to look beyond this life, because this life is just a drop in the bucket of eternity. And the joy of serving is knowing this life is not all there is. You see, Jesus told us, don't lay up treasures upon this earth where moth corrupts and thieves break through and steal. Instead, lay up treasures in heaven that'll last for eternity. You do realize, you know, there are heavenly investments that you need to be making while you're going through this life. Everything you do in the name of Jesus, every soul that you witness to, every tract that you pass out, every message that you preach, every lesson that you teach, if you're a teacher, everything you do, you're making a heavenly investment. And you know what? There will never be a stock market crash in heaven. We put our savings accounts and like I said, it's good. But inevitably, ever so often, there's what they call a correction. The stock market corrects itself and boy, things plunge and people lose thousands of dollars and we whine and complain. Well, listen, there's never a loss in heaven. Jesus is keeping permanent record. And one of these days, we're going to go stand before the judgment seat of Christ and receive the deeds done in the flesh. I like the way Paul put it. Romans chapter 8, verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. Do you have it tough today? Hang on, beloved, if you're a child of God, it's going to get better. It's going to get better. Why? Because Jesus said in John chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Listen, this life's not all there is. Are you paying a price for Jesus right now? Is it hard times for Jesus right now? Hang on. I guarantee you, it will be worth it as a faithful steward of God. And I promise you this, you will not be ashamed when you get to heaven and you hear the words, well done, you good and faithful servant. You may be here today. You don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. My friends, this life is not all there is. This life is coming to an end. Where are you going when it comes to an end? Heaven or hell? That's the choices. There's no in between. There's no place that you go and people pray you out of, called purgatory. No. Okay? It's based upon the decision that you make in this life with what you do with Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Have you called upon Him for salvation? If not, you need to take care of that today so that you can leave here with the assurance of a heavenly home. Maybe you're here today and you've been that steward that was discouraged and you just quit a long time ago and you're not doing it, you know, it's been your attitude, you're not doing it anymore, and you realize today, hey man, look at what Jesus has done for me. Jesus was crucified. So the things that I suffer on this earth are nothing compared to what Jesus did for me. Time for you to come back. Time for you to be faithfully serving once again. Maybe you're here today and the Lord's leading you to become a member of Victory. Whatever your spiritual condition, whatever your spiritual need is, listen to Jesus as we have this invitation. As He stirs your heart, and respond. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for the day. We thank You for the privilege of looking into Your Word and learning of You. And I pray, Lord, that we will be faithful stewards. I pray that You will move among us today, You knowing the hearts and needs of this congregation, You knowing those who are discouraged, those who are at the point of quitting. You know those, Lord, who just need to come back. Lord, bring them back. Save the lost. And glorify Your name in this invitation. In Jesus' name I pray.